How'd you follow that?
Well done, Keith. Super. In worship, myself and Chris are bringing the word tonight. We're doing a talk tonight. And as you know, we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments. And tonight we're going to be talking about do not lie or bring false testimony. But before I kick off, during worship, when we're praising and worshiping God, I just felt God speak to me about something that happened to me when I was a kid at school. So we just pray. If everybody just want to, as we pray, and I just want to share it as we pray and just lead us into God. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak to us, open our hearts, reveal yourself to us. I pray that the reason we're here tonight is because you want us here and you've got something for us this evening for us to digest and to receive. So I pray that we be receptive to you, Holy Spirit, and convict us and open our hearts to what you want us to say. And the picture I had when we were worshiping was quite simply, when I was at school, this Christian youth group used to come. I was in a high school, and they do dramas, and this particular drama is about a person. I think it was a girl who actually did, a lady that actually did the actual drama. And the drama is about somebody's heart. And during worship, I felt I should put my hand on my heart and give my heart to God. And I felt God reminded me, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this drama. And the drama is really quite simple. It's about somebody who takes their heart and they give it to somebody. And that person that they give their heart to plays with their heart like a ball. And they're bouncing that ball up and down in the air. And then they drop the ball and it goes splat onto the ground. And the heart's destroyed. And then the person scrambles up off the floor and pulls the heart back together again. And then somebody else comes along and they give the heart to that other person. And that person plays with the heart, bounces it up and round. And eventually, the inevitable happens. They drop it and it goes splat. And the drama is all about God being the one who wants to have our heart. Because when you give your heart to God, he doesn't play games with it. He doesn't drop your heart. And it certainly does not go splat. And maybe there's somebody here tonight. I wasn't going to share that and it came out in worship. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who's given their heart to people or other things, but they know that their heart is not given to God, that God would be speaking to you. Right, so tonight we're going to be speaking about, do not lie. The reality is God is a God of truth. And God's very nature is a nature of truth and integrity. Tom, you brought that scripture about the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth, which is spot on with obviously what we're talking about tonight. And God actually says in the Bible, he says in Proverbs 12:22, the Lord what does God think of lying? Well, the Lord detests lying lips, but delights in the men or women who are truthful. So God detests lying, but he delights in truth. And what is truth? Well, if we think about some of the attributes of truth, they're great, they're brilliant, they're really sweet. You know, truth is about honesty. Truth in relationships builds trust and builds relationships. Truth and honesty builds strong marriages. It builds strong bonds. The context of the verse that we're bringing here is when Moses is bringing the Ten Commandments, and he's bringing the Ten Commandments to God's people, a community of people who came out of slavery. So a lot of bad stuff went on there, and they were slaves actually, and they came into a place where there was a new community of people, and they were God's community of people, and one of the key reasons why God brought the Ten Commandments and this particular commandment is because integrity is really critical to having God's community function in the right way. If you don't have integrity in that Israeli community, you just do not have the level of relationship and trust and functionality in that community that God wanted for his people. So why do people lie? Just imagine if you've all heard of Pinocchio. So imagine if I was Pinocchio, right? And I stood like this and my nose just would grow. Would it be that big? Would it be that big? Would it be that big? And just imagine if you were Pinocchio and you stood next to me. Wow, two Pinocchios. And we both stood next to each other. You'd have the longest nose. Would I have a longer nose than you? People lie for different reasons. I just want to give a few of those reasons. And maybe some of these mean something to some of you. One of the reasons people lie is out of fear. And fear is critical to lots of things in terms of why people do what they do. Fear to avoid punishment, to actually avoid something, to protect ourselves from something that we don't want to happen. So a classic example of this, right, is say my kids, three kids, who did it? Who broke the glass? Who broke the ornament? Or kids at school, who did it? It wasn't me. As J. John says, those who know who J. John is, he calls it BSE, blame someone else. BSE, blame someone else. It wasn't me, it was them. It certainly wasn't me. Another good example of why people lie is to fit in, to be accepted by the crowd, to fit in your family, in your community, in your school, in your workplace, to say things that you think people want to hear. You might twist the truth. You might add things to the truth. You might make something up completely new. Or you might leave something out, like the fact that you're a Christian. So two classic people roles that are criticized for this, I say politicians and salespeople, right? Politicians are often criticized for not telling the full truth or saying what they think people want to hear rather than the full truth. We'll leave that one there. Salespeople are similar, that they are often seen as people, they're just going to tell you what they want you to hear, so that you're going to do what they want you to do. They manipulate you. That's the view sometimes we have of salespeople. It's not all salespeople. Another reason why people, and this isn't a fun reason, not that any of them are fun, but this is the reason why people lie to you and to me, or why we lie, is because we want to hurt somebody, because we want to get vengeance. We want to inflict some deal of pain. We want to steal the glory. And one classic way that people do this is in gossip, right? Gossip. Behind people's backs or stabbing them in the back. And gossip can be quite subtle, but gossip can be quite very, very dangerous. And it's often exaggerating the truth into a lie. And the final example, really quickly, is where people are going to lie because they're going to gain something from this. It's for their personal gain. And an example for this is actually in a job. I won't say too much about this, but in a job I used to have many years ago, where the employer needed certain documents filling out every week, and if they weren't, we didn't get paid. So we as employees, and I as a Christian, was put in quite a difficult situation whereby, what do I do? Do I fill these in, even though it's not actually completely true, and it's slightly fraudulent, maybe? What do I do? And that's a tricky situation, right? And I'm not going to give you an answer to that situation right now, but that is another example. So I want to talk to you about Peter. One of the greatest examples in history of the church of a liar is Peter. Peter, not only did he lie to, well, he lied about the greatest man in history. Peter lied about the greatest man in history. He lied about Jesus. And despite that lie, he ends up getting commissioned and being sent out, and he becomes one of the greatest leaders in church history after that lie. And there's a massive, amazing story in all of that, in the context of that. We don't have time to go in great detail, but basically what happened, as many of you will know, is Peter, Jesus said to Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, actually, I've got the verse, I've got to hear what he said. He said, it's great this, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And guess what happened? Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? I don't know him. Do you know Jesus? I don't know him. Three times, and he disowned Jesus. What he did, which is really significant, right? Listen to this. What he did is he realized what he did, and he regretted what he did. He regretted what he did. He'd realized he'd made a big mistake, and the Bible says he wept, and he wept bitterly in Luke and in Mark. He wept bitterly. And then the great outcome of this story is that Jesus came back to him later and said to him three times, funnily enough, "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And each time Peter says, "Yes, yes, yes." And each time Jesus said, "Go and feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And then basically what happened is that Peter then became this amazing church leader and one of the greatest church leaders of all time, if not the greatest, some would argue. So, people lie to us, right? What does that feel like? Well, that can be very damaging. It can be painful. It can hurt. You can feel like you're a victim. You can feel betrayed. It can last for a long time. Trust is broken. Relationships are damaged. And marriages can be destroyed. Some get rebuilt, some don't. It's horrible when people gossip about you and say things behind your back, or someone said something about you that you know that's not true. What are the classic forms of false, of lying in history? In history of the church is false teaching. I'm just going to mention this briefly because we could talk for hours about false teaching. But really quick, right? This is one of the great deceptions are one of the great examples of lying. And Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. The New Testament church experienced it. And church throughout history to today is experiencing it. So in summary, I mean, Jesus said, there's going to be wolves among you, but they're going to be dressed as sheep. They may appear to be truthful, they may appear to be of Jesus, but actually they're not. So be careful, because Jesus said they'll be there. Paul said about the false prophets, false apostles, he said they bring a different gospel that we originally preached. They bring a different Jesus that you were taught. They bring a different spirit. So they may appear to be, they may talk about Jesus. They may have a form of Jesus, they may have a form of the gospel. But what they're doing is they've actually twisted the truth, they've added to the truth, they've created their own scriptures, they've deviated from the teachings of the church, and have moved you away from actually what the gospel is really about, and put you on a different road. And we see it throughout history. We saw it in the New Testament church. If anyone knows church history, there was people like the Gnostics and the Gnostic Gospels, and that's still prevalent today in different forms, though it doesn't call itself that all the time. It's prevalent throughout history in lots of different religions that believe in Jesus to some extent, different levels, and then claim that they are Christian or similar to Christianity. But they're all deviating from the core truth. They're twisting it, they're adding to it, and it's clear Jesus predicted it, Paul predicted it, and it happened, and it happens. That's all I'm saying about that. Right, the final thing I wanted to touch on was Joseph, before I hand over to Chris. Joseph is another amazing story. It's one of the classic stories in the Bible about lying. But unlike Paul, okay, Paul was the liar. Paul was the one who denied Jesus. Paul was then sorry, and then Jesus turned his life around, okay, or gave him an amazing ministry, right, despite that. Joseph is different. Joseph was lied to. He was deceived. He was the guy that was that the lie was done to him. So in Genesis 37 to 50, we see the life of Joseph. What basically happened was he was lied to by his brothers. He was lied to by Potiphar's wife, but God had his hand on his life, And he just blessed him mightily. And the Jewish people found their home and their community out of what the decisions that he made, which ultimately led to the Jewish nation. And Moses followed. In a nutshell, with Joseph, his brothers hated him because he was favored by his dad, Jacob. And the big lie that they made was they were going to kill him. They were going to kill him, but they didn't kill him. They sold him to slave traders. And they went to his dad, Jacob. There's 12 sons and one daughter. Went to his dad's Jacob, and he said, look, he's dead. Your son's dead. Your favored, wonderful son that you love so much and we absolutely hate. He's dead. And they took his wonderful, you've heard the songs, haven't you, Joseph in his multicolored raincoat. He took his coat and they put goat's blood on the coat and they took it to Jacob and said, look, there's evidence, there's proof, he's dead. So his dad believed them, obviously, and he mourned the death of his son, and that was it as far as he was concerned. Joseph was seduced by Potiphar's wife. He wasn't, but she said he was, so he got put in prison. Anyway, God raised him up. He was lied to. The great thing about this story is when it got to the end of the story that I want to tell you, he came to a point where he had a decision to make. He was in a position of power. He was actually one of the most, almost as, in the Pharaoh's kingdom, he was almost as powerful as Pharaoh because he had power over all the grain. And in the big drought of the time, he had a lot of power, this guy, right? And he was now in a position of power. And his brothers came before him, and he had a decision to make. He could have had them prosecuted, put in prison. He could have done a bad thing to them if he wanted to, or he could have forgiven them. Actually, what did he say? He said to his brothers, "Do not be angry with yourselves for what you did." What? Do not be angry with yourselves, because he knew. Because what he then went on to say is that the whole situation that I'm in, God was in it. God brought me through this. God allowed this to happen. And God has actually brought us to a place here now where the Jewish people are going to move to a new place and a place of promise. So I just want to close with a couple of things. As we think of Peter was a guy who lied and deceived. And that could be you. That could be me. And he came back to God. He was forgiven. But he came back. He regretted what he did. We could lie to God. We can lie to other people. And I want to encourage you tonight, as you think about this, is if you have lied to God or if you lied to other people, is to seriously think about dealing with that and seeking repentance and seeking forgiveness. And Joseph was in a position where he was lied to. And instead of taking it out on them, he didn't. He forgave them. And he restored his family in the land. Chris?
But it's said, it's not a lie, if you believe it. So, this is what everybody is telling us all the time. Everybody says, if you believe it, you know, that's what the world is trying to get you to think. All these lies that are going around you, they're not actually lies. And they do it by getting you to believe them. You know, I'm not the big of a liar, but I did it once when I was really young. And if you know Siku, I was a really good friend with her brothers. And we were quite young. And we were like a gang of cousins, and they were all super fit and like running around all the time, climbing the trees, like playing, Indians and all sorts of like crazy things. And I was like the chubby computer geek. I like to play computer games. And every time, because they lived in Tallinn, different town, every time I went to see them, I felt like, we've said, I felt like I didn't belong and I wasn't part of them. So I came up with this awesome story that I was a kung fu fighter and that I used to go to these clubs and every week I used to train. And Lauri, Siku's brother, actually believed me for maybe 3 minutes when he said, okay, let's fight. And obviously it came out really quick. But I wanted them to believe that I was awesome. I didn't want them to think I was just this nerd. But I wanted to think that I was somebody. And I lied. Obviously, it didn't go very well. But this is what we do to protect ourselves. And when we are afraid, and when we are afraid of rejection, and when we are afraid that we don't belong, and it happens all the time, and we don't believe in who we are. Let me just read one story as well from the Bible. It's in Numbers 13, and same, you know, guys, Moses, and we heard this morning about the story, you know, when they're coming out from Egypt, and God is mightily with them, moves them out through the sea. They're in the desert walking around a couple of years there already, and they're about to get to the land that God promised them, Canaan. And they're there, camping there, and Moses decides to send out spies to check out what the land is like. And I'm just going to read the story quickly to you. He chooses 12 guys and sends them out, and sends, he says, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Obviously, it was time for season of harvest. And so these guys go, they walk back and forwards from the land, different things, bring back massive amounts of fruit. For 40 days they walk back, and then they come to Moses and all of the community of Israelites, God's people. And they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israel community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. A little bit further on. And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Caleb was one of those 12. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those who live in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and looked the same to them. So there was two guys in this gang of 12 people who brought back a good report. And it says the other 10, they came back from this land that God had promised them, and they started giving bad reports about them. Not neutral reports, not saying how it was, but the Bible says the actual word is evil reports. They made it sound worse than it was. Why? Why do you think that was? Because they weren't so sure that they could take it themselves. The funny thing is, we lie because we don't believe the truth. That's why we do it. We don't believe who we are or what we can do anymore. So we come up with another story that protects us and keeps us safe. And this is what these guys were doing. They weren't just giving neutral reports. They started spreading lies. These guys are so big, we can't take them. You know, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. You know, and this is what people do. We do it all the time. We do it to protect ourselves. We come up with a story that suits the place where we are. So what can we do about it? We need to learn the truth about ourselves and about God. You know, this story, it's funny enough, it's not about, you know, lying 100% about what it looked like there. I mean, how do you measure how big the people are? Or it could have been factually even correct. But the point was they were missing what God was telling them to do. And therefore, they were afraid and they were scared. You know, And if we are part of people like that, or we fear people who are lying, we are missing out what God wants to do in our lives. And, you know, if you were there listening to this report, the whole assembly of these guys, Israelites, they're making decision, a political decision, a war decision, and they're listening to these guys. You know, the thing is that, like Caleb and Joshua are there giving the truth and giving the faith, and the other guys are lying about what they saw and what happened there. And sometimes we can't stop that from happening. We can't stop people lying about us. And all the lying that goes on about you, like as Franco said. But what we can do is stop all the lying to us. That we can change. We can't change maybe what's going out there, but we can choose what we believe and what we don't believe. So how do we do it? The most important thing we need to do right now, I mean all the time, if you want to get closer to God and closer to Jesus, the truth, is we need to open ourselves up to truth. We need to give truth a chance to do something in our lives. You know, funny thing about deception is this. The whole sort of conception of deception is that you don't know you're being deceived. If you knew that you're being deceived, it wouldn't be deception. And the way we believe those lies and everything that's going around us, scary thing is we don't know that we are believing them. We don't know that I'm not sure who I am in God. I don't know that there's maybe more for me. I don't know that somebody's lying to me. I don't know that I believe lies about myself. Otherwise, I would change it. Otherwise, I wouldn't believe it. But we are in a place of deception sometimes. And it happens all the time. You know, and what happens with lying is the lies sort of create this place that holds us stuck in it. It was funny. Gina was telling me this story the other day. When she went to this sort of informal job interview to get this job, and chatting away, and then the interviewer asked, "So, how old are you?" And she just was thinking, "Oh, how old am I? I can't remember." And said something, 23. And then he said, "No, I'm not 23. But I can't say that to them. They might think I'm stupid. So I'm 25. What do I do?" And you know, you sort of nervously are thinking, "If I get this job, I'm going to have to tell them that I'm actually 25. I mean, what's the big deal?" But you have to sort of start to play up with the lie. Okay, I'm just not going to mention it. And you know, the thing is, it gets you stuck. I mean, obviously you could easily say, "Oh, sorry, I just forgot," or "I was confused," or whatever. But the fear, you know, maybe they think of something of me, or maybe, you know, the truth coming out means I'm not going to get it or something, even enforces the lie and pounds us even more. You know, Adolf Hitler said, "If you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, people will believe it." And you know, that's the truth. And we tell ourselves these little lies. "Oh, what happens if I tell them? They might not give me the job. If I keep telling myself that I'm not worth it, that I can't do it, I'll start to believe it in the end. And there's nothing we can do about it." You know, we need to believe the truth. So about Caleb and Joshua, the two guys who decided they will take on the land, they didn't believe so much, you know, differently about what they saw, but they believed in what God said about them. They said, "We can easily take this land. We can easily take it if God is with us. We can take it." They could see all of the good sides of it. They had come through the sea. They had come, you know, out of the slavery, through the desert. They're there. And they had faith for it. They believed something about themselves, which made them able to do it, to see it, to do it. And the other guys had lost that. And that's why they were lying. They were lost the truth about themselves. "Oh, we would be better off if we went back to Egypt, into the slavery. At least we had some bread there. This is the desert. We have nothing here but sand." You know, they forgot what God was doing with them and where he was taking them. these guys believed the truth about themselves. And interestingly enough, these guys, the other 10 guys, perished with everybody else in this desert. Of this time, everybody over 20 years old, only Caleb and Joshua actually made it to the promised land because of their hard attitudes, because of what they believed in. They were the only ones. It took them 40 days to walk through the land. After that, it took the whole gang, all of the Israelites, 40 years to get there because they did not believe who they were anymore. They missed this opportunity and they believed the lies. And that's what's at stake for our own life. If we stop believing who we are and who we can be in Jesus Christ, we're going to miss the opportunity. So, open ourselves up to the fact that, yeah, there is more truth for me. Yeah, there is more freedom for me. Yeah, there is an option that I can be deceived. There's an option that I can be too afraid. There's an option that I can be holding something for my own benefit because I can't face the fact that I have to do it or I have to break free or I have to say something. You know, and that enables us to say the truth. Like Caleb and Joshua, they were saying, we can definitely take it. I just finish, you know, with this story about my grandfather. You know, if you're a Christian, the fact is, you got nothing to lose. And you got nothing to prove. So you can tell it exactly as it is. You don't have to tell a lie. If you know you are secure in Jesus, you don't have to tell a lie. My grandfather, in the beginning of 40s, Estonia was reoccupied by the Soviets. And interestingly enough, like, you know, taken over from Nazis, were kicked out, and the Soviet Union came back in. And they started deporting people away to Siberia. They sent tons and tons of people to Siberia. They put them in trains and, you know, cattle cars and all sorts of things, like animals, deported them out. They would separate families, send them both to Siberia but other ends of it, just to destroy this sort of belief that they can have a country or we could have our own freedom or our own family or our own life, and would send them away. And my granddad, later on, he would go and fight in Finland side against the Russians. And he would escape there. And different things were going on. And he came back to Estonia. And one night, the KGB officers wake him up, come banging on the door. And, you know, get everybody outside the house and asking them, you know. And they asked him straight, where have you been these last years, you know? What have you done? And he figured, you know, they take people away to Siberia for no reason. I got nothing to lose. So he told them exactly. Yeah, I was here, you know, then I had to flee to Finland because of this and this and this and this. And then they said, these guys were shocked. They said, actually, we knew all of this about you. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But you're the first man to tell us the truth about themselves. And they were in such shock, they just walked away, left them there. You know, I wouldn't be here if he didn't speak the truth. And you realize, like, if you got nothing to lose, you got nothing to prove, you can tell the truth, and God will stand for you. God will do it. Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips last forever, but the lying tongue only for a moment. It's so easy to perish, you know. But there's so much at stake. Should we stand, everybody? You know, it's so important that we believe the truth about ourselves. It's so important. It's the most crucial thing. It's going to determine whether you're going to succeed in this life or not, whether we're going to make it or not. And we want to give you this opportunity tonight as well. You know, if you feel like, yeah, I want more of God's truth in my life, I'm tired of being my own obstacle all the time. That happens to us all the time. And we win the war by little battles. And this is one of them. Let's open our hearts to the truth. And I pray Holy Spirit would come right now and show us who we are, you know, in the area that you need. Like Kat was saying before, you know, You go into the place that you've been hiding away. God is there. He loves you. He can take it. He can restore you. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray you would come right now. I pray you, the Spirit of Truth, you would come and open our hearts up. Thank you that, you know, if you open it, it's not to condemn us. It's not to bring us down. It's not to expose us, but it's to restore us. It's to make us better. It's to take us forward. It's to make us into more like you. And this is what we want, Jesus. This is what we receive from you right now. Lord, we need you. You Spirit of Truth. Jesus, you said, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Lord, this is what we need. We need freedom from ourselves, from our doubts, from the negative thoughts, from believing the lies of the enemy, from believing what the world tells us, trying to get us to believe the stuff that's not the truth. Jesus, we want your truth. Thank you, Lord. So we want to give you an opportunity as well, just to respond and get some ministry and prayer.